here we are. Wow, it's been since July since we recorded. And to be quite honest, I don't even know if that episode made it up because I think I had an issue with my computer. So,
oh my God.
Here we are. It's been since May, if that's the case. And I'm really glad to be back. I'm joined, as always, by Rick and Jason. Here we go. Here are the friends.
Yes.
Hello, Earthikins.
I'm really... Jason's response was really something. That was really good.
Yes.
There he is.
Well, I was switching between headsets, so I apologize.
No, you're good.
All right.
So, we, since our first episode back in a while, we want to get back in the swing of things. I don't know if we're going to soft reboot this series and start calling this number one again. That's probably excessive. We'll they could call us Marvel if we do that.
Yes.
So, I think what we're going to do is keep going. And, going to talk about some of the biggest new releases that hit last week, because we're all playing at least one of them, or intending to play them. And I'm going to talk about a review that I'm going to publish early this week. I was going to try to publish it this weekend. Things just didn't shake out that way. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Pokemon Sword and Shield. Sword, mainly, because that's what I'm playing, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, the same thing. And Rick is going to tell us a little bit about Jedi Fallen Order from Respawn. And Jason's been wanting to play that, too, and actually picked it up as well. So we're going to have a little fun, candid chat about these new releases and about the problems surrounding fandom. That's it. So, yeah. How are you liking Jedi Fallen Order, Rick? How's it going?
excuse me. It's really good. I'm really enjoying it. The story's really done well, really well so far. I'm probably about, I don't know, I think maybe halfway. It's kind of hard to tell because it's a, they call it Metroidvania, so you can travel back and forth once you start to unlock other stuff. So they definitely have you going back and forth between all the planets and whatnot. Story's really good again. The gameplay is really good. It does remind me of Force Unleashed, but it's not as fast paced, if that makes sense. So you're still pretty overpowered, and you can find some pretty hairy situations when there's like groups around. But overall, it's still pretty fun, and I like it a lot. So,
did you run to Dathomir?
I did.
Okay, and did you find whatever it is?
Yes, yeah. Okay. And it is pretty obvious once you get there and do it.
Okay.
They revealed it at the, I don't know, I think, did you watch XO19 from the Xbox presentation?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, they unveiled a brand new TV spot for the game, and it was a big spoiler in that commercial. So,
oh.
those two are, yeah, I know, right? Those two are the same thing. So, no, right? So, but I mean, it's not like a huge spoiler. It's just nice. It's cool. Okay. But yeah, you can see it if you watch the that new live action commercial.
That is funny. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was pretty funny, like, observation when people saw it during EXO, because no one had seen the commercial before, and everyone's like, oh my gosh! So it was pretty funny to see that.
So here's my question for you, Rick. Because I haven't followed this game's development or anything. I mean, I'm going to play it because I really like these deliberate action games. You know, I've heard the combat that, like, compared to Dark Souls. And I mean, I know it's not Dark Souls, but is it like deliberate like that, where you have to be careful and dodge and watch?
You definitely are going to want to dodge and block and do a lot more stuff. So it's cool in that sense. Like, you're not just going to slice through everybody like in Force Unleashed. You definitely have to learn to parry, and you've got to block and stuff. Or not block, but I've learned to dodge a lot too. So it's pretty cool in that sense. And then you kind of do have to like pick a path when there's... I just got through Kashyyyk in this one part, and they have like a whole bunch of stormtroopers, a couple of like those shock troopers, and then an AT-ST showed up.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if you just, you know, work your way up from the little minions all the way to the boss, you can get through it. You just have to just kind of figure out how everything works.
I've also heard that one of the big, you know, defining factors of the Dark Souls games is when you die, you lose half of your health, and you don't get that back until you lose your humanity or whatever. I heard that it's similar in this, but you receive, I guess, all of that health and all of the power back as soon as you land a hit on the enemy that killed you. Is that good?
I don't know about the health stuff. Maybe at a higher level. I'm playing on, there's four levels, and I'm playing, like, there's the second one up. I think it's Jedi Knight. So I'm playing on that one. And what happens when you die is, at least from Jedi Knight, that I've noticed is you get all your health back, but you've lost all the experience points. So, but then if you go back to the place where you die, that enemy's highlighted, and as soon as you hit them, it refills actually all your life. So if you're like battling again and you lost like half your life, it refills all your life, and you get all that experience back.
Okay,
cool.
So, yeah,
awesome,
and it's fun.
I think you already kind of answered this, but like, do you go to are there recognizable planets that you go to, or are they all like brand new for the game?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's definitely recognizable ones. There's some. I mean, everyone knows you go to Kashyyyk. People familiar with the Clones Wars, you go to Dathomir, where the Night Sisters used to be, and that's also the homeworld of Darth Maul. And then, let's see. So there's four planets that I know of, and two of them I just said, and then the other two are, I think one of them's brand new, and then the other one wasn't very familiar. So,
okay,
cool.
The one thing they do need to work on is the character models for Wookiees. They're not good.
Well, you know, I haven't seen them in any promotional stuff, so
there's a reason why.
Yeah, I guess that's why.
Yeah, they're just so bad. It looks so bad. And it's just, I mean, everything else looks really good too, so it's kind of a little bit shocking. But I mean, I guess I get it too. I mean, it's got to be, hair's hard enough to animate and put into a video game as it is. Yeah. So to create a giant creature covered in hair, I can only imagine the difficulties it is in developing something like that.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But I mean, the voice acting's really good. And the story so far, again, is just it's just like a regular Star Wars story, so it's fun to experience and whatnot. So
awesome.
Yeah, and the lore is really good too. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Dying to play this game. I gotta get to it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So
is it as good as The Mandalorian?
No, but that's only because of The Mandalorian's new main character. Is the best new character ever created for Star Wars.
That's only because The Mandalorian has a Mandalorian.
What? No. It has nothing to do with The Mandalorian.
Oh.
But it's his best buddy. His best pal that he rescued.
That's not a main character.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the whole thing of the story.
Well, yeah, I'm sure of that too. But I don't know if you can consider that the main character, can you?
The popularity of this creature is like exploding right now, all everywhere. Like when it comes to Christmas time, you're gonna see so many stuffed animals of this creature. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Well, you know what? That actually, you bring up an excellent point, because I was listening to somebody on YouTube the other day talking about this, and what they were saying was, why haven't Hasbro like loaded the market up with these things, because there's like word that this is even coming.
Yeah, I think they really wanted it to be a surprise, so they sat down and said, hey guys, I know you want to sell this and it's going to sell like bananas, and we probably should have done it, but they were just like, I can only imagine they wanted that initial surprise to be, you know, what it was, and that's what they got.
Okay.
So, well, no, and I agree. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But at the same time, on flip side, and this isn't very spoilerish, but the Mandalorian doesn't like droids, so he doesn't have that companionship where every other Star Wars story has. So I could actually see this creature sticking around.
Yeah.
For a while. So and he would play that part. So.
Okay.
Cool.
But. Yeah, I would highly recommend both of those items. They're both pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And The Mandalorian is a very good show. So
I got to tell you, between the two of those and some really cool Star Wars action figures that have been coming out lately, I'm big into Star Wars right now.
Yeah, yeah. They've done a really good job. And we'll see how it all lines up for the movies and stuff. I'm pretty excited, even though I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
We'll see what happens.
That's the one thing I'm not into.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'll still see it because I have to, but
yeah,
doesn't mean I'm gonna like it.
Yeah, I'll probably see it eventually. I'm not going to run out. I barely see movies as it is, so
I have a whole week off of work right after it comes out. So
you're definitely going.
Because I can just go during the day when it's not bananas. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, see ya.
Yeah.
So
hello, bargain matinee.
I know, right? And that way I can boo it and throw tomatoes at the screen.
Oh, Eric.
Yes.
So, what's your favorite power you've gotten so far
It's kind of cool in the sense because they keep the force powers really simple. Good. And so... yeah, I mean, you're not overpowered in that sense, which is really cool. And I'd probably have to say, I don't know. They got this cool thing where you can, like, pull someone to you, but then you can also, like, throw them after you pulled them in. So you can, like, push-pull thing, and it's pretty cool. That's fun to do.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cool. So,
do you get access to, dark side force powers?
No, I don't believe so.
Or you're like, okay.
No.
You're just a Jedi, right?
Yeah, you're just a Jedi.
Yeah.
So cool. I don't think you get into any dark side powers at all.
So,
and I don't think there's any like choices where you like would become a like dark side versus light side. I don't think that's in this game. I think it's a pretty linear story.
That works for me. Because I would prefer not to play through a game several times.
Yeah.
Same. And I just wouldn't, so.
That's what YouTube is for. Fallen Order, bad ending. So, yeah, no, I think there's only going to be one ending, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, yeah, I would definitely recommend it. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be my game of the year. There's a lot of like little buggy things that are kind of wrong with it, but it's just a really fun experience so far, and the story's really done well. So,
awesome!
It's getting up.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that because I'm definitely going to pick this one up. But when it came time to get a game this weekend, I looked at which one would probably come down in price quicker, and picked Pokemon. Which is where I guess we can move the conversation to. Now, I've been playing this on and off. I haven't played it as much as I typically would have because I was pretty busy this weekend. But I've got about 3.5 hours in. And got a gym badge. And that's it. That's the game. It's really good. Pokemon. There you go.
Wow. What an in-depth review.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am actually definitely going to do a, a snapshot or...
Oh, okay.
You know, whatever it is. Pretty soon, probably next weekend, I'll try to do that because I'm going to have a lot of free time next weekend.
Okay.
You know what? It's a Pokemon game. And it's not breaking new ground. It's not going to be anyone's game of the year unless, like, you really love Pokemon. It's a new Pokemon game. It's on the Switch. Pokemon genuinely has never looked better. There are a couple problems, but those are only problems in the abstract, you know? Those are problems if you're looking at the series from, like, an academic point of view, and you're like, hey, why isn't this series evolved past this certain point? If you sit down and you're playing this game, it feels like Pokemon. And if you really lost that and you changed it, I think people would be a lot more angry than they are right now.
I would agree with that. You know, I gotta say, when you showed me that screenshot before, I hadn't really seen this in the game in action at all, but it looks really good. The graphic style is great.
Yeah, the graphic style is great. The Pokemon,
I mean, it looks like Pokemon. I mean, I don't know what you want it to look like.
Right. The animation in battle for the new Pokemon is great. Mm-hmm. For a lot of their moves, it's really good. A lot of the older Pokemon's animations weren't totally revamped, so okay. They're kind of showing age a little bit. Because I think that those were pretty much ported from the 3DS games. But I can't be totally sure, because like I said, I haven't seen too many of those. I'm only using new Pokemon on my team, so I'm not getting huge, like, long glances at these old ones. For anybody who isn't aware, there's a huge, I guess, controversy, even though the only people who are really angry are who were probably going to buy the game anyway and probably still ended up buying the game.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure. It makes me angry how people get so... Oh, I'll get into it. So, they were mad that Game Freak came out and they said, you know, all 900-plus Pokemon aren't going to be in this one. Which anybody who's ever played a main Pokemon game knows that you can't catch every Pokemon in every region regardless. You're not going to be able to catch them.
Hmm.
Because, what, are you supposed to be able to catch 900 Pokemon in the wild in this game? No, you never could do that. It was always around 150. The newer ones probably have more because, you know, I don't know for sure. I've never counted. But, you know, the newer ones probably have more. The difference comes in that all the old games, you could transfer Pokemon in. So you could take games from a previous generation and transfer all of your Pokemon into the new one and have your entire team. Fine. I understand how people would be annoyed that you can't do that now. The problem is Nintendo and Pokemon Company are introducing a way for your whole collection to come onto the Switch, which it's an app that's launching next year. It's going to be a subscription, so it's kind of silly. I mean, I'm not too happy about paying for another subscription, but it is what it is. It's called Pokemon Home, and that's where your collection would live. Here's what I don't get. Nintendo isn't coming into your house and taking these Pokemon from you and saying you can never use these again. They're saying that they're not going to be compatible with Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is essentially what Magic the Gathering and other card games do when they cycle in new cards. You know, there's new cards and then old cards cycle out. You can't use them all. So basically what this says is for the online meta, these are the Pokemon you're going to be able to use. You still have your collection of old Pokemon. I don't get it. I don't get the argument that people are saying that Nintendo's charging, what is it, like 30% more for half the content. Because if you're judging Pokemon games based on the number of Pokemon you could potentially transfer in, your priorities are way out of whack. You know, I've been playing this game for like 3.5 hours, and on one hand, it makes me feel like I felt when I was first playing these Pokemon games. And on the other hand, it looks great. It's awesome. The wild area is a huge open area that you can run around in. You can run into super strong, not super strong, I guess you could if you went far enough, Pokemon that outlevel you and can like one-shot you. There are raid battles in there that you can fight with other players. So 4 of you versus 1 super Pokemon that you can catch afterward if you win. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it, and I'm going to go deep into it in the review, but it's Pokemon. You set out, in this one, you get endorsed by the current champion because it takes place in the Galar region, which is based on the UK. So the Pokemon League there is modeled like after the British Premier League, which is kind of cool. And that, like, Pokemon battles are these huge spectacles, and they take place, for the official fights anyway, in basically soccer stadiums. So you go into a gym battle. Like, I fought the first gym leader, and there are, like, thousands of people on the stands cheering, like, you on watching you fight this gym leader, because it's a huge spectacle. It's so cool. You know, you get to pick your number for your uniform and everything. And, I mean, that's just a quirk of the region. The next Pokemon games aren't going to be doing this, I'm sure. But, you know, I've been playing these games since probably I was 5 years old. And seeing, like, being able to compete in this way. Like, usually it's like, oh, the gym challenge, go do it. But this one, it feels like you're really competing. It's cool, because everyone starts off at the same place and has to move through the gym challenges. And, like, you start hearing conversations of, like, you know, so-and-so trainer didn't make it past this stage, and it's just cool. Big fan. Of course, I have some problems. Charizard gets another form, while like they don't even let you choose any of the other original starters, like at any point. So, but
do you get to choose between starters, or you're just given one?
No, yeah, you get to choose. There's three.
Okay.
Basically, the champion of the game, which it's no secret that he's the champion. Sometimes it's a spoiler. Not in this one. He's okay. Literally introduced as like having never lost a Pokemon fight in the opening cutscene. And his partner Pokemon is Charizard. So, I mean, I guess that's why he's in it.
Okay.
But, and I mean, I guess that makes sense because if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna market it for like that kind of thing, Charizard's probably the most popular out of those three. But yeah, you have to pick one of the new ones. I picked Grookey. He's a monkey with a stick. He hits things. And he evolved into Thwacky.
Whoa!
He has two sticks, and they're like a rhythm. They're like a rhythm apes. Whoever can drum the fastest has the most respect. So, that's cool. This game expands on Sun and Moon's Alolan forms. So now there's Galarian forms. So there's a new Meowth. There's like a Galarian Weezing who has like top hats on his head, but they're actually smokestacks. It's really funny. There's Galarian Farfetch'd who can evolve into Sirfetch'd, which is like a knight. There's a bunch. There's Zigzagoon who evolves eventually into someone who looks very similar to Gene Simmons. You know, there's a lot. It's cool. And if you're a Pokemon fan, there's no reason not play these. And if you think that, you know, Game Freak lied or they used the same models and they said they were redoing them, you know, I just guess that you hate fun. People want reasons to be pissed off, which is a shame. I don't know. That's where I come down on it. You don't have to play it, but maybe let it go and go play something that you would enjoy instead of complaining for months and months at a time.
Yes. Well, you know where I stand, though. I mean, to me, it feels like if you're a big fan of something and you don't like the direction it's going in, you have every right to complain about it.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't complain. I just think holding on to negativity for months and months and months is probably not too healthy. That's all.
Well, no. I was going to say, on the same token, I feel like, you know, probably the majority of people who are complaining have either played it already or will be playing it soon. So,
yeah. I think so. I mean, for me, Pokemon's always the same. In the lead up to the new games, I always feel like I don't need that. Like, I don't have to play that. I don't have to buy that. And then about 2 weeks before, I really get the bite. And then I go and I pre-order it and then I buy it. And I have a great time with it.
That sounds like me with Call of Duty games.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's Pokemon. Do you have any questions?
I've never really played a Pokemon game. What how does this play out? Is there like an overworld, or is there random encounters? Like, how do you find Pokemon?
So there's kind of an overworld. It's not really an overworld. It's just a map. It's a big-ish map that you run around. You know, this cities and towns are all interconnected, but it's not like you're on this overworld and you go to a city and then you go into the city. It's not like that. Like, not like an overworld in the traditional Final Fantasy sense.
Okay.
Thinking of it like that. Between cities, and even now, in the latest games and the ones before this one, cities sometimes have wild Pokemon in them too, but most of the time they're found in tall grass. So before, you would walk around in tall grass and yeah, there'd be wild random encounters. Now, starting in Let's Go, which was last year's Pokemon game, and this one, you can actually see the Pokemon walking around the overworld, so you can see which one that you're getting into a fight with. So if you're looking for a specific Pokemon waiting for it to appear on a route, you can kind of walk around that route and avoid the Pokemon until you actually see them, and then you can go over and initiate a fight with them.
Okay.
There's a couple of other things, like experience share. If you guys have ever played a JRPG where your characters level at different rates, it can be pretty annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they can't all be in the fight at the same time, so you're constantly moving them in and out to try to juggle. Pokemon's always been like that, but now there is forced experience share, which a lot of people are pissed off about. But get this, the game's balanced around it. Who would have thought? So it's actually fine.
So I actually think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I like it because you don't feel forced to use like this Pokemon you have on your team for right. one scenario, just like constantly to keep it
right.
up to par with everything else. It'll just be there.
Which I like. One game that game series that I did play a lot, and I played every single game, was Skylanders. And one of the we talked a little bit off air about my Skylanders problem, but. Well, now that it's over, I guess I don't have a problem anymore. But anyway, I had a whole bunch of the figures, but I found myself using like 5 of them across every game. And when new figures would come out, if they were like really cool, I'd like to use them, but they're not leveled up. Or if there was like an old figure I would come across I never found before, and it was like really neat looking, and I'd want to add that to the game. But I'd rather not. You know, get my head beat in for a while. You know, I'd rather just use the ones that are leveled up. So, I mean, this kind of a scheme actually sounds really good. It sounds really like a positive change.
Yeah, and you even get tons of items, especially from doing the raid battle, that are, I think they're called experience candies now. So, if you catch a Pokemon that's low level, mm-hmm. and you've been accumulating these, you can boost it up to your current level. And there are a ton of quality of life changes to make competitive battling a lot more accessible. I've never bothered with it because I couldn't be bothered because the sheer amount of time it costs to breed and create a team, it takes tens and tens and tens of hours, probably up towards hundreds of hours to breed a full competitive team. But now you don't have to do that. Now everything's changeable and workable because I guess they appreciate people's. So I'll probably be playing with that a little bit at some point.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's good. It's good. Whew. And so that's Pokemon. And I've also been playing, for review, this one. I've been playing Mega Aquarium on the Switch.
Oh, yes.
And I think it also came out on the other consoles. It came out on PS4 and Xbox One at the same time. It's been on PC for about a year, I think. Basically, it's a tycoon game where you run an aquarium. Think Zoo Tycoon. Pretty much Zoo Tycoon, except in its aquarium. There are like over 100 different kinds of fish, I think. There's a ton. And they're all differentiated by like species and like what kind of groupings they need and everything. You know, there's everything from green moray eels to sea turtles to sharks. It's cool. The game comes with a 10-level campaign that teaches you every mechanic. It's actually really cool. It's kind of like a career mode, too. You start out and it's like you're a fledgling, you know. I have no idea what an aquarium like runner is called, but
an aquarium owner.
That's it. But and then you keep getting higher and higher profile jobs, and as you get these jobs, you know, more fish are introduced, more mechanics are introduced throughout the levels. It works really well. And after you finish all 10 of those, you always have access to the sandbox. But going through the whole campaign is a really fun way to get to know the game and the fish and how everything works together. It's really cool. Really, really like it. It scratches that management itch just perfectly. And it's not too hard, but there have definitely been times where, you know, I didn't have enough money and I had to sell some of my things to continue building because I didn't have a functioning aquarium to open it yet, so I didn't have any income coming in. Mm. But fish can eat other fish if you're not, like, paying attention to their sizes and they get too big. It's, I was playing and then all of a sudden I had the day changed and I had, like, 3 notifications in my message box, and I looked at it, and it was 3 autopsy reports because the eel eat 3 of my fish boys because he grew. And I was like, you used to be friends with these fish. Now you've eaten them.
Terrible.
Yeah. But it's so cool. You can decorate the tanks with different kinds of rocks and plants, and like just decorations, like treasure chests, and you can paint them. You can change the entire aesthetic. You can set up a gift shop. You have to hire workers. You have to. There's a lot that goes into it. You have to manage the equipment. Like, it's not just like you set up a tank. You have to have the filter, the heating. Some fish need cold water. You need to have the cold water. You need to have the right plants. You need to have the right shelter for them so they don't feel stressed. It's there's a lot to it. But the campaign really teaches you how to do it.
So,
I mean, I know it sounds like I'm like there's a ton that goes into it. And the first time I booted up the game, I was pretty overwhelmed. But
yeah.
Seriously, the campaign, it doesn't feel like a multi-hour tutorial. It feels like you're playing through a campaign in a really good way.
Cool.
Okay.
I definitely played like City Builders and Management Sim, where the campaign felt like yeah, I'm doing this to learn the game, but I kind of hate it. Not in this. Everyone felt so different, and it's just cool. Big fan. I'm going to be writing up a full review of it this week.
Excellent.
So, I really like it. I mean, I've been looking for like a tycoon game for a long time anyway, but this, and I like aquariums, and I like octopuses, and I like fish, and I like crustaceans, so big fan.
Excellent.
Yeah, do you guys have any other questions about Mega Aquarium? Which I'll probably know more
so.
In your record.
No.
Talking point to go over.
Okay. No, but I'm glad to hear it was so good. I was wondering about it because it looks cool. It looks like something that I would like, but it seemed like it was from a smaller developer. So I wasn't sure if it was going to be a decent game. But it sounds like it's great. So okay, cool.
Yeah, it is, and I mean, I have no idea what the size of the team it made it is, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was from a smaller team. But
yeah,
it looks good on the Switch. Load times are not bad at all.
That's good.
You know, it's smooth. I think I've only seen a couple frame drop here and there. I mean, it runs really well. It's really cool too how you can zoom in and like look into your exhibits. So you set it all up and then you can kind of zoom the camera and look at it from the side.
Oh, see nice!
Swimming around like from the perspective of your guest. Kind of neat. You can also pick your guests up and like move them around. So I would just like put them in places they can't get out of and wait until they get really hungry and thirsty and can't sit down.
And that sounds terrifying.
And then it kind of scratches that sim torture itch.
Mm.
If you ever miss torturing sims.
My God, Eric.
I never did that, but I know people that did. I know it was popular.
That's maybe a little too popular.
So, there we go. That's it. That's
nice.
That's what I've been playing. Those are some of the new games we've been working on. We talked a little bit about The Mandalorian, which is cool. I know Rick's been enjoying that. I've been watching things on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I watched the original Parent Trap on Friday night, and I watched from like 1968. It was really great. And I watched the original Freaky Friday with Jodie Foster
from like
1967. Last night, so
watch The Mandalorian.
I'm going to play on it. So
do it.
That's where I. It's Danny DeVito's birthday today. Sonic the Hedgehog's Twitter account tweeted "Happy birthday" at Danny DeVito, so that's really nice.
Oh. So,
yeah, that's it.
Eric, did you get that Disney game double pack?
Oh, you know what I did? We haven't talked about this. Yeah. I picked that up. I really picked it up because I wanted to show Becca because I thought that would be fun because she'd never played and she had a good time with it. But it's really cool. So it's only the Sega Genesis version of Aladdin. So if you grew up with the SNES version and you want to jump around, that one was made by Capcom. The Genesis version was made by Virgin. So I don't know if it was. I think it was. Anyway. The Lion King definitely was. Anyway, they're great. They hold up very well. There's a bunch of bonus additions for Aladdin. There's, you know, the normal game. There's like a director's cut, which includes new levels.
Oh. There's
playable tech demo from like E3 1995 or whatever it is.
Wow.
And there's a couple of other things in there too. And then there's also the Game Gear and like the Game Boy version, which is cool, of both
that
Aladdin.
That is excellent. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a whole soundtrack section, so you can just like play music from the games. It's cool. It's a cool little piece of video game history. If you like these games, if you ever played these games, and I mean, some people might scoff at the $30 price tag, which is kind of fair if considering two games from that era, but you're getting the music, the artwork, the extra never-before-released versions of Aladdin. It's cool. I like it a lot, and I want to play through them again soon, but it was kind of like I wanted to pick those up and play them, but I haven't played through them yet. Stuff. I don't have time to dedicate to.
Well, they're not easy.
Right now, no. I've beaten them both before.
So. Yes. There's no need to boast, you know.
I've beaten both of them.
You don't have to do that.
So, all right. Have you guys been playing anything fun? Other than, I know Rick's been playing Jedi. I know, Jason, you've been busy, but you guys have time for anything?
Well, I finished up, my Modern Warfare review. So that was all I was playing for a little while. That's really fun, by the way, if anybody wants to go check out the review. It's mainly a review from the single player standpoint, because I am not a multiplayer fan, but it's a really good game. So I picked up also the two Dungeons and Dragons collections for the Switch. I haven't started them yet though, so I gotta play around with those, but kind of waiting on them, probably when I have less to do.
Cool. Yeah, those are ones that I also want to play, but I don't know if I can justify it at this point.
Yeah.
With how long they'll take. I mean, I barely finished Dragon Quest XI. Before Pokemon came.
Those are, like, all incredibly long RPGs, if I remember correctly. Honestly, I kind of bought them just to have them. Because I just think it's really cool that they're out there on cartridge again. It's just neat. I'm not sure if I'll ever actually play through them.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I'll definitely try it. You know, I want to play them again, but I'm not sure if I'll ever actually make it through those games again.
Right.
Cool.
Oh, and, so Rick, and I should add, I just remembered, I'm playing Call of Cthulhu on the Switch for review. So,
okay.
Playing that right now and kind of going incredibly slowly through it because I just had tons of stuff to do lately. So, but it seems great. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's hampered too much by the hardware or anything. So there are kind of long loading times for. Other than that,
did you get to the boss fight yet?
No, not yet.
That boss fight is kind of a pain. Don't be afraid to look up how to beat it.
I'm sure it is.
I had to look it up.
It's just sometimes with these games, you know, especially when you're playing them for review, you want to get through them as quick as possible. And I can't just like stub my toe for hours on end trying to beat a boss character. I'd rather just find out how to do it.
Yeah. Cool. How about you, Rick? You playing anything good other than Fallen Jedi Order?
I'm also Fallen playing Land? A game called Children of Morta.
I know you're very excited about this.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun game. I'd highly recommend it. I'm actually writing a review on this as well, so it should be out next week or so. But it's a action RPG game with a roguelike kind of element to it. And every time that you die, you take all your money you make and anything that you like find with you back, and you have to start over. So you don't have to start all the way over, and you keep all your experience as well. But the dungeons are procedurally generated, and it's just a really fun game.
cool.
So
I know I highly recommend it. You liked that one a lot. That just released on this week, I think.
Yeah, it did. It did just release on the Switch earlier this week. So I think it's available for every platform now.
Cool. I might have to pick that up too. So
yeah, I would really recommend it. It's a lot of fun. And there's a couch co-op and stuff too. So
cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
But nobody playing Death Stranding?
I was about to say that.
No. No, thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Not my bag. What about you guys?
I think I mentioned everything I've been playing. I started playing Civ 6 again a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, around a game of that. That was good. Because they're releasing the expansions for Switch, which I'm probably going to have to pick up because I love that game.
Is that a standalone?
The expansions?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because I saw a listing for a new Civ on the Switch, and I was thinking maybe that was it.
I wonder if it comes with all of them, like the game and then the expansions.
Right. Yeah, maybe.
But I have the base game, so I'm just going to buy the expansion on the website. So, yeah, I guess that's it. So, we have returned. 40 minutes. Still not even that short, even though we were talking only about, like, 3 games, basically.
Yeah.
And I can talk. All right, guys. Thanks for checking out and hanging out with us. We're going to be here a lot more regularly from now on again. We got to bring you all the news. We got to talk. We got to have fun. We got to chat. Make jokes. See what
we do. We got jokes.
Jokes.
All right, guys. Thanks for checking in and listening, and we'll catch you next week. That's a promise. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.